Yes.
Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 393 for Thursday. What the hell is today? May the 21st, somewhere in time. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and working from home is supporting my day drinking. I'm Morps. A lot easier when you don't have to hide it from everybody. It's like the cat doesn't give a fuck, you know. Unlike, you know, people in the office who, you know, see you swigging out of a flask and get worried. The cat's just like, am I getting fed? Yeah, okay, whatever. Anyways, tonight, I am drinking out of the flask. Madman, what are you drinking out of?
I'm drinking out of a bottle. I have beer.
Ah. Are you, I'm afraid to ask what you're drinking out of?
I'm drinking 100% proof of I am tired. It's not the kind of tiredness that sleep will help with.
Oh, that for that you need some muscle relaxers and some Jim Beam, and you just find the right proportion for you. I'd suggest air low until you realize your tolerance.
It reminds me of...
Oh, I'm also not a medical doctor. In most countries, I think I may be registered in Zimbabwe, but I have not got the certificate yet.
I've been taking that ground up elephant penis for weeks, man. It is not helping.
Oh, shit. So, I'm not a doctor, but I pretend to be one on internet forums for shits and giggles. It's like, what do? You just post you have cancer. You're probably right. It's like one out of three people will have cancer at some point in their life, so, I mean, fuck.
Just walk around your local area dressed as a paramedic waiting for people to start asking you for help. I'm sorry, I don't work here.
That's an old Dave Chappelle joke.
I know, man.
It's
I
like,
saw
you're not a whore,
morning. I love it.
But you are wearing a whore's uniform.
Yeah, great joke. 2000 Dave Chappelle.
Actually, the Madman talking about the tolerance... I was in the liquor store last weekend, and I had found most of the whiskey I wanted, which is usually what I drink, and I walked over and was looking at, you know, what else is in there, and I happened to be looking at rum, and this younger guy, and I realized I'm saying a younger guy, it's like, wait, I'm supposed to be a younger, damn it. he looks like he's fresh out of college, right? He goes, are you a whiskey drinker? Yeah. He goes, which of these whiskeys are good? And he points to the rums. I'm like, well.
None of those, because those are rum, sir.
Those are rum. And he goes, what? I said, that's rum. Whiskey's over there. He goes, oh, fuck. He goes over to it. He's like, so which of these are good?
Are you wanting a bourbon? Are you wanting a scotch?
Well, he had no clue. And it's like he didn't know what was what. So I'm like, well, what you can really do is find something, you know, just start trying stuff until you find something that you like. And he goes, well, which ones do you like? So I pointed out the one, a couple of the ones I liked, like, you know, I pointed at the Knob Creek Single Barrel, right? He picks it up and he's looking at it for a second. He goes, this is 100 proof. Yeah. He goes, that'll knock you on your ass. I go, well, if you're not used to it, I guess.
I'm not polishing fucking furniture with it, you know? Yeah, getting drunk,
I'm just waiting for... It's like, am I getting punked right now? What the fuck is going on with this kid? it's like, I don't know that I could do that. I'm like, well, all right, well, there's the Jim Beam. I mean, you know.
At that point, you move him to Maker's 47. Like, here's a starter, it's smooth, you'll like it, and once you get your big boy pants on, you move into Knob Creek and Woodford's.
Actually, I told him Woodford's was a good place to start, and actually, if you've never tried Henry McKenna, it's cheap. It's not a great whiskey, but it's not a bad whiskey, and it's not super high proof, but it's, you know, it's not bad.
Now, you think it of being a professional drunk, I'm going to have a look at your bank account first, sir, to see what to recommend you to be drunk.
Nice.
You got to take that into account, kids. If you're going to drink professionally, can you afford it?
It's all hard seltzer or cider. What?
Oh, then you get to move into scotches.
Ooh, yeah, I need to start getting into some scotches. I've been doing bourbons for the past several years. I need to get back into some scotches. Because I think it was Monkey Shoulder you had me try that I liked.
Yes, Monkey Shoulder is one of them.
Yeah.
It's a cheaper one, man, but try Jameson's.
Which Jameson?
Just your regular Jameson's.
Well, the thing is, at least in whiskey prices, or at least in bourbon pricing, price is not a component of how good it is. It's a component of how rare it is. So, you know, just because it's, you know, $10 a bottle doesn't mean it's absolutely trash. Unless it's Heaven's Hill, in which case, you know, Static pulled a fast one on me. But, you know.
It's the same with Australian red wines, man. Just because the price is cheap doesn't mean it's a bad drop.
So. Anyways, let's get on into... We'll spend 20 minutes talking about liquor. And I'll have to change the name of the show to whatever the drinking show we used to do was.
Oh, I'll need to download the app again.
Jim Beam, you may want to mix. Yeah, actually, they sell a lot of their pre-mixed stuff. Like, their Red Stag has, like, a cherry and sugar flavor in it, and they've got an apple one, which is... I couldn't do that one. What was the other one they did that it was... I like the Devil's Cut Jim Beam. I don't know what they're mixing with it to get that. They say it's some kind of an extract from the wood, but... I don't know. I think that one's got a decent taste to it.
Yeah, that one, they're supposed to be pulling some more alcohol out of the barrel and adding it back into the booze.
Yes, straight Jim Beam, the regular stuff, is absolutely good for whiskey sours. Cypress was asking in the IRC, well, asking, stating, mentioning, whatever, I don't know. I don't know the context, I just saw him say, I think Jim Beam is good for whiskey sours. I agree. Yes, Jim Beam does make a decent whiskey sour. Yeah, I was confused one time. I went to a bar on a trip, work trip actually, a hotel bar, and ordered a, didn't want to look like a complete drunk just drinking straight bourbon like I usually do, which was actually really funny because I was meeting the new company and just ordered, you know, a couple of shots of Woodford's Neat, and they were like, wait, what, Neat? I'm like, yeah. It's like, that's, isn't that stuff, you know, it's like, no. You know, it's like, whatever. It's like, oh shit, I look like a drunk. So I was like, I'll get an old fashioned. That's less, right? And the guy says, well, what do you want it made with? Well, what do you have? And the only, I mean, it's like, well, what bourbon do you have? And the only one he knew is a bourbon. He said, well, I've got Woodford's. I'll use that. I'm like, oh, for God's sake. All right. he made an old fashioned with Woodford's. It was weird tasting because I'm so used to not. It's like, normally, if you want to make a proper whiskey drink, yeah, you know, you've got your bitters, you've got your orange peel, you've got your sugar and your simple syrup. You put all that shit aside, you put the whiskey in the glass, and you drink it.
Occasionally showed a picture of an ice cube. Remember this, it could have been your friend, it's not.
Occasionally, you know, depending on the whiskey, you know, if you want to put an ice cube in your, okay, honest truth. Find a drink you like, enjoy your drink, and realize I'm still going to make fun of you for it.
Moving exactly.
So, anyways, so first article we have for today is from Ars Technica. Your Equifax settlement of $125 isn't coming, but banks are still getting their money. Back in 2017, Equifax infamously suffered a data breach that exposed devastating levels of personal and financial information about 147 million Americans. Its punishment was a $575 million settlement with the FTC and a pinky promise to go forth and sin no more. Well, you know, you don't want to break a pinky promise. Say you lose a pinky. Individual consumers who were wronged were supposed to be able to claim $125 each from the settlement. Until, that is, the FTC and Equifax remembered the wronged were still 144 million strong, and the settlement fund didn't have enough cash. Even so, individuals should be getting something. So where is it? Equifax is indeed paying out right now, but not to you. Instead, the company has finally agreed to pay banks for their inconvenience of having to cancel and reissue millions of credit and debit cards. The Register points out, that agreement provides $5.5 million to all financial institutions in the United States that issue a Visa, MasterCard, Discovery, or American Express card that was identified in the breach, except for banks that explicitly requested to be excluded from the class. Now, that's interesting. Why would a bank request to be excluded from the class?
So they can sue them individually if they find an actual breach.
Hmm. Equifax also promised to spend $25 million or spend $25 million on strengthening data security and will pay the administrative and legal costs for the banks involved in the settlement. Granted, most individuals will receive very little money from the settlement, if any. The original promise was that the affected person could receive either free credit monitoring or $125 in lieu of that or if they had another active credit monitoring solution. That bucket, however, was capped out at $31 million in claims. Enough to pay out a little under a quarter million people, or 0.2% of those affected. That's a fuck you, isn't it? I guess if they actually had to pay everyone who was affected $125, they'd be broke. Let's see. After unexpected media attention drew overwhelming number of claimants. Unexpected media attention. Yeah, we thought nobody was going to notice that we fucked up, and you know, a third of America. God.
One of the three credit reporting agencies fucks up. Everyone is going to hear about it. Not just in the States. It is a global problem.
Yeah, after unexpected media attention drew an overwhelming number of claimants, the FTC dropped the option for choosing cash instead of credit monitoring altogether. Individuals who did ask for cash had an October 15th deadline to certify that they already had credit monitoring in place. Everyone else had until January 22nd of this year to file for credit monitoring. But there's been no contact from the settlement administrator since. That could be due to class action suits gumming up the works, the Register theorizes. A judge in March dismissed all of the initial objections. But only 2,770 people asked to be excluded from the settlement, and 338 directly objected. In the wake of incomplete or misleading media coverage, such as in serial objectors, the settlement could be considered reasonable and adequate. So, yeah, no, you're getting credit monitoring, and it's through Equifax's own company if you're getting anything. And if you read anything when you went on to look and see if you were affected by the breach, by checking to see if you were affected, you were agreeing to, like, not sue them and a whole bunch of other crazy shit. So this company is the epitome of not giving a fuck because they know that you're not their customer. Banks are.
Yep.
That's why they're paying.
You notice who they're taking care of.
That's right. They do not care that they've collected all your data and they fucked it up. I mean, I'm sure people who work at the company care, but the organization doesn't care. They don't give a fuck. So, but yeah, I mean, yeah, okay, Equifax, you know, took some reputational damage, but they're in such a limited market.
They didn't take damage.
Yeah.
I mean, people will make fun of them, but Kroger's can take damage. I can go shop somewhere else. Walmart can take damage. KFC can take damage. Someplace where their customers are actual people and they have alternatives to go with, they can take damage. Well, Equifax won't take damage simply because a lot of brokerage firms require that you get so many opinions on something before it's considered solvent. There are only three companies they take opinions from.
That's right. That's right. And at the same time, you're not even making the decision to do business with Equifax or not. They're getting your data from other companies. I mean, I'm sure there are ways you could do opt-outs and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, you have very little say over the data they're collecting on you, and you have very little say over the companies that are using Equifax for credit reports. So, I mean, it's sort of like when you're ordering online and you don't really have a choice of shippers and you have a personal hatred of DHL, and you discover half the shit you ordered still goes through DHL because that's who the company uses, and you don't really get a choice in the matter, and it fucking sucks.
I'm not sure how you cannot do business with them. I do know of ways of making it where it doesn't matter to do business, kind of. Like, you can lock your credit, do a few things where people automatically pulling it doesn't matter. But it's still being reported. It can still be pulled. It's just whatever bank you decide to deal with has to do manual underwriting. It doesn't prevent them from still doing the reporting to the different agencies. It's just if someone wants to open up a line in your name, or if you want to open up a credit line in your name, you have to do it the old-fashioned way.
What?
But it's still being reported to those three agencies.
A lot of financials don't want to do business if they have to do manual underwriting. They think it's too expensive, so they just won't do business with you.
I don't know about the expense. I do know it's time-consuming.
So.
And they want, you know, we can send out these 300 sheets of paper for auto-approved credit cards instead of talking to one person and giving them a credit card.
I don't know, man. I just like I said, it's back to the. It's exactly what you said. Look at who they're taking care of. That's who their customers are, and it ain't you.
Yeah. The only way to fix it would be to make anything like Equifax opt in instead of automatic.
I am a little surprised that you don't see people trying to start up competing credit reporting agencies. I know it's not an easy task, but you'd think somebody would be trying. I mean, I could see Amazon or Apple or, you know, one of the other, or Google trying to get in on that shit, you know?
I could see them trying, but I understand the difficulty, and that is banks are already used to taking the level of risk of handing Equifax shit. You've already seen how taking that level of risk works out for them. Equifax gets popped. If they open up a competitor, there is another person getting everyone's information, and that's just another weak point in the chain.
No argument there. I'm just, like I said, I'm surprised you don't see anybody trying. I mean, I guess there's probably some regulatory lock-in and things like that, too, that make it very difficult to spin up a competitor, but... You
know. Credit Karma's trying to kind of do it on the individual end.
I don't know. I don't know.
But yeah, it sucks. You're fucked and you're not even going to get money for it. It's almost like they weren't even punished.
Oh, they were punished.
Almost like.
Yeah, I'm going to go with almost because they did lose some money. I don't know if they lost enough. I will say they weren't adequately punished.
I mean, granted, you know my industry, but I'd kind of like to have seen somebody from senior leadership having to go up there and explain themselves and possibly risk jail time. I don't know that I want to see companies have leadership go to jail for shit like this. I kind of do, but at the same time... That's one that could be abused a little too much. You know what I mean? But
I want to see someone go to jail because it was someone's fault.
Yeah.
Now, as for how long, that's negotiable.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's like, I want to see somebody go to jail because I want to be able to make that argument when I'm arguing with people about whether or not security is important so that they get it. That's like, yeah, no, if we don't do this right, somebody's going to jail. Because right now, the way it works is, well, you have a security team, and, you know, if something happens and we get breached, we're just going to fire the security manager, bring in a new one, and say we solved the problem. You know, whether you actually did anything or not. It's like, there, we found somebody to blame. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a real answer there. I think, because at the same time, it's one of these things where you have a duty of care, but, you know, somebody had to break into it, right? Somebody had to attack the systems. And I think part of why I hesitate to say that, you know, we should just, you know, somebody should be locked up is I know how difficult it is to build a properly secured system, especially with most of the modern operating systems people use and systems. I mean, if you look into what it takes to lock down an Office 365 account or a Windows domain, such that you don't have to worry about malware, or if you're building websites like, you know, what happened with Equifax, where it was a problem with a third-party library, what are you going to do? Go sue the Apache Foundation for that? Of course not. I mean, it's open-source code. You chose to use it, but it was out of date, and it was a problem that had already been fixed, but that's a different point. I don't know. I mean, I
If people were being held liable,
it'd get fixed really quick. I know.
Do you think they would still be using out of date code?
Hell no.
Do you think they would be using open source, or would they just develop their own? I mean, complain all we will about how hard it is to update COBOL. When it was being developed in house, was secure.
Not really. It's not so much that COBOL was more secure, it's that there were a lot less people attacking it. It's sort of why you had the argument of why, you know, apples don't get viruses. Well, it's because very few people are attacking apples when that claim was made. Oh, IRC just kicked me out. That's interesting. Oh, well. That'll get sorted out eventually. But, like if you're doing, you know, custom development and things like that, it's not easy, especially with the tooling we have today. And having dealt with audit on a lot of this stuff, a lot of the audits they do are useless. It's like, oh, how many people have access to this system or that system? Well, it's not about people. It's about somebody losing a password. It's about somebody getting popped. It's about, you know, it's how are you monitoring behavior? How are you dealing with insider threat? How are you dealing with patching? That's the problem that Equifax actually had was somebody didn't bother to go update their code. They were still using an ancient ass version of Struts. Well, it actually turns out it's kind of a pain in the ass to change versions of frameworks like that, and it's expensive. So I mean I get it. You know, as to why it doesn't happen from a business standpoint, it's like, well, if it's not a problem, why are we spending money on it? Well, it's, you know, if the building's never burned down, why did you install a sprinkler system? So that argument gets weird quick, but you'd also don't want to go dictating what security looks like from a regulatory level, because then you get shit like the seatbelt, where the design of the seatbelt hasn't changed in 20 years, even though we have better designs for seatbelts that have come out of the racing industry. I just did something on mixed. Are we still broadcasting? Are we still good?
Yeah, we're still live.
All right, it looks good. It's still recording. I just hit a button on that keyboard and it changed the view, and I'm like, oh God, what did I just do? It's like, did I break it? No, I didn't break it. I just switched it to the big library view, and because all that box does is broadcast and record the show, there's nothing in the library. So it just scared me for a second, that's all. I don't know. I mean, I don't. It's It's sort of like when the government comes in and mandates shit, especially when it's shit that nobody knows how to do. Yeah, they're going to figure out how to do it, but is it really going to solve the problem, or is it just going to create some bureaucratic nightmare that's never going away, you know?
Yeah. The only way to fix that beyond a government mandate is having it where I'm the customer and I have a choice of who has my information. Instead of...
Well, that Europe tried to do that with GDPR. Well, and that's arguable for how much success they've had. Yeah, you know, fuck. I just spilled some whiskey on the desk. And I don't have anything nearby. Matt, Phil Time, I'll be right back.
Far away.
Phil Time, I'll be right back.
Killing time. All right. This dude did have a couple of minutes there, Madman?
No. Equifax actually does credit reporting for multiple countries. I know we've been talking about how bad the U.S. got fucked by it. Did it hit down under at all?
Not that article had it had in there. I think it was just the American banking system that got hit, wasn't it? I'd hope they have their corporate entities in each country firewalled at least, you know, or at least air-gapped. So that you couldn't lose the entire data center in one hit.
You'd like to think that.
I'd like to think that, but what I like to think about and what reality is two different things.
I'm back. What would you say about losing a data center in one hit?
Since Equifax does credit reporting for more than just the U.S., I asked Aryu if he knew about anyone getting popped in down under because of this breach.
Oh, I think time was the only real limiting factor, is that somebody found that this person was sitting there slumbering, and whoever breached him was pulling all that data out. You know, if they hadn't stopped him, they would have eventually gotten it all. There are still physics to moving that kind of amount of data around.
Yeah, you only have so many electrons only move so fast.
Yeah, it's got to traverse the wire. It's got to get read out of hard drives, read back into hard drives. I mean... It's a thing. So that's always a fun conversation when you try to explain to somebody that you can't move data that fast. Why not? Physics. I mean, you know, like it's
the write head on the drive doesn't move that fast.
Yeah, it's like, well, we need it done faster than that. Well, you're just shit out of luck. And I've had people try to pull that trick of the whole, well, I say it needs to be done faster. Find a way to make it done faster. That's not going to happen. You're going to be disappointed because it can't get done any faster. Well, we need it to get done faster. I'm sorry.
I can request that the laws of physics be rewritten. Do you know who I addressed the envelope to, sir? I mean, we call them laws. I'm certain there's a legislature somewhere that deals with them.
So can we get the coalition of scientists to increase the speed of light so we can make spaceships faster? I mean, how does this work? So, anyways, let's move on to the next one. It's from ZDNet, and it's hilarious. Face masks prompt London police to consider a pause and roll out of facial recognition cameras.
They're going to learn that no one has mouths. Some people don't have noses. And very few people know how to correctly wear a fucking face mask.
Oh, my favorite was the chick in Tennessee who cut a hole in her mask. She had one of those N95 masks, and it was too hard to breathe through, so she cut a hole in it. Right in front of her mouth, so it was easier to breathe. There's a video floating around. It was on one of the guys at work had it. I think it was off of Facebook. They're like, hey, what'd you do to your mask? Oh, well, I made it easier to breathe. You should tell people about this. Okay, yeah, we will.
I will let everyone know. You, ma'am, are retarded.
The rollout of facial recognition cameras in London is facing disruption, as citizens are now using facial coverings that could potentially incapacitate the technology. The United Kingdom has been a keen adopter of surveillance technology, including facial recognition cameras, in recent years. despite concerns that widespread spying erodes citizens' rights to privacy. I mean, eventually everybody's going to put on a Guy Fawkes mask and try to blow up Parliament, right? Isn't that how that movie goes?
You can only hope. Don't give me hope. That,
but I'm seeing a lot more license plate T-shirts and hats with infrared LEDs.
I like the idea of the license plate T-shirt. That's a good idea.
Oh, I wish I came up with it. There's a woman already pissed off about the surveillance society, and she's come up with a line of clothing to fuck with the facial recognition and license plate readers. So it's like a T-shirt with a different, like, different faces on it that can be read by 3D cameras.
There was a an old picture that floats around of somebody who had a full SQL injection string on the license plate reader to try to get it to, you know, drop the tables. And that picture used to float around. I thought it was hilarious. Let's see. Last year, the Information Commission's office launched an investigation into a trial of facial recognition cameras installed at the King's Cross, a busy underground and overground train station. Based on claims that commuters and passersby were being surveilled without explicit content or consent. At the time, UK Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denham called the scheme a potential threat to privacy that should concern us all. The Metropolitan Police have also launched its own trials at busy hospitals or hotspots in the capital. Live facial recognition technology, having been deployed across London since January, is intended to scan faces and flag up matches of the most wanted individuals and criminals. Wait, why would you have... Why is that two separate things? Why is
criminals
most...
are convicted?
Hey, have you got
convicted?
A fucking license to ask questions, cunt?
Yes, I do. It's called being an American, you fuck.
Don't have a license for that.
Yeah, sure. Here you go. Let me hand you my piece of paper that says I can do what I want. Let's see. License to ask questions. Actually, I could see that in Britain. Here we go. However, civil rights campaigners say there is no clear legal basis for scanning the faces of potentially millions of citizens in the hopes of catching a few people. I still want to know why most wanted individuals and criminals are separate things. And there are also fears such a rollout could contribute in a shift towards a surveillance state model adopted in countries such as China. Research conducted by Big Brother Watch suggests the cameras have false positive rates of up to 90%, and civil rights groups also claim that thousands of people have already been misidentified by facial recognition cameras. And two recent LFR deployments in which over 13,000 faces were scanned, six individuals were stopped, and five of the six were misidentified. A number of MPs, too, have urged for facial recognition cameras to roll out to stop in the UK, until the UK has laws restraining technology's use. None of these issues have stopped the Met, but a pandemic may do so. The police force is reported considering a pause on the scheme as so many in the capital are now wearing face masks. The UK government has urged citizens that need to use public transport, including the critical tube, bus, and train networks in London, to wear face coverings to help reduce the spread of the boomer and tumor. It is likely that wearing scarves, masks, and other coverings to cover mouth and noses will be a common sight in the foreseeable future, and so cameras designed to flag and, or to scan and flag our faces may not be effective. There was actually another story talking about this from the perspective of the police, where they were trying to figure out how to tell people not to wear masks in areas so they could be scanned. It was basically, well, this isn't right. We need to be able to scan your face, but we can't tell you not to wear a face mask during a pandemic.
Banking has gotten a lot more interesting.
Oh yeah, most places have put up the old plexiglass.
Everyone is walking in already ready to rob the place.
Well, every time you go anywhere and you see everybody wearing all these masks, you're like, yep, well, I'm waiting to see who robs it. And at the same time, what's really fun is when you go into some place and not everybody's wearing the mask and you're like, is things over? Am I the weird one? I'm the one still wearing the mask. So,
I'm the weird one. I never bought the mask.
My mom sent me one. She made it, so I kind of feel obligated, you know?
wrote your name on it?
No, I didn't have my name on it, but, you know. Let's see. A letter recently penned by Assembly members Caroline Pigeon and Sam Berry to Dame Credessa Dick, Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Service, has questioned the role of LFR, calling cameras unreliable, unregulated, and being used in a way which infringes on the civil liberties of Londoners. Pigeon and Berry have called for a halt to the use of LFR until a number of concerns have been addressed, including how the police compile a watch list of suspects, a lack of assurance that the technology will not be used at protests, demonstrations, or other public events, and the potential impact using cameras will have on the general public's level of trust in law enforcement. Yeah, I mean, again, this is how you get you know, okay. V for Vendetta.
That's where they're useful is public events. You want to, if you're looking for people, you look for people where there are people.
In addition to inaccuracy, there are also concerns that no laws, regulations, or debate has been concluded concerning the use of LFR by Parliament, and that therefore this technology has no national guidelines or regulations governing its use, the letter reads. We believe that the way LFR is being rolled out as an operational tool in London is ill-advised, and that this technology will have a chilling effect on civil liberties if not used with clarity, accountability, and full democratic consent. Police in the UK have also been recently criticized for using drones to publicly shame dog walkers during the novel General So's Revenge outbreak.
Was it, please pick up your dog's shit? Please pick up
No, these
your
are the drones we were talking
shit.
About a few weeks ago where they were like, you know, going around and like, citizen, distance yourself. I mean, you know, shit like
yeah.
that.
The
ones that would take your temperature and, you know, I assume swarm you if you were sick and carry you away.
I still want one of those to show up here. I've got three different types of shotgun shells for them. I can't see which one works best until we implement drones in my area.
Did you ever buy the shotgun shells that shot out the chain? The
Bolo?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the variety pack.
Nice. I never did get around to trying some of those out when I had that shotgun.
I want to get some of the dragon's breath, but I'm also worried about burning out the barrel of the shotgun.
That's when you decide, well, it's a cheap shotgun. It's probably worth it. Or you use a four-wind shotgun to do that just for the fun of it.
Yeah, I'll use the cheap one first. I kind of like the whole, this has been tested for firing things.
Fair enough.
The four winds is for emergencies whenever I no longer have access to actual guns.
I'm kind of thinking it would be fun to design a bunch of 3D printable parts to bolt to the four winds shotgun. Not to actually build one, but just to put them online and watch people lose their shit. It's like, here, so you bolt this handle and this handle to the two pipes. Here's your instructions on where to put the nail and the pipe cap. And here's where you put your 12 gauge, and good luck. By the way, if this blows up in your face, well, you're the idiot following instructions from somebody on the internet. So, okay. Next one up is from Ars Technica. Just turning on your phone qualifies as searching it, a court rules. So this is interesting. Smartphones are a rich data trove, not only for marketers, but also for law enforcement. Police and federal investigators love to get their hands on all that juicy personal information during an investigation. But thanks to the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and the case law built upon it, police generally need a warrant to search your phone. And that includes just looking at your lock screen. A judge has ruled. Well, at least
damn those civil liberties. Get in the way of so much fun shit.
You all knew I was going to play the dramatic music after that one. I mean, come on.
No doubt.
Usually when the topic of a phone search comes up in court, the question has to do with unlocking. Generally, the courts have held that law enforcement can compel you to use your body, such as your fingerprint or your face, to unlock a phone, but they cannot compel you to share knowledge, such as a PIN. In this recent case, however, the FBI did not unlock the phone and said they only looked at the phone's lock screen for evidence. A man from Washington State was arrested in May of 2019 and indicted on several charges related to robbery and assault. The suspect, Joseph Sam, was using an unspecified Motorola smartphone. When he was arrested, he says one of the officers present hit the power button to bring up the phone's lock screen. The filing does not say that the officer present attempted to unlock the phone or make the suspect do so at the time. In February of 2020, the FBI also turned the phone on to take a photograph of the phone's lock screen, which displayed the name Streezy on it. Sam's lawyer filed a motion arguing that this evidence should not have been sought without a warrant and therefore should be suppressed. So, I don't know. I guess you could, you know, put something on your lock screen that identifies the phone as yours. I would think a background photo with, like, you in it would be a better indication, but especially, like, a Streezy, whatever. Although, if you think about it, a lot of phones, if you're like getting text messages and stuff like that, they'll show the notifications on the lock screen saying, hey, here's a message, especially iPhones is where I've noticed it. Even my phone, even though I've gone through and done a bunch of the privacy settings, my meeting reminders for work will still pop up with at least the name of the meeting on the lock screen. Now, you have to hit the button and bring up the lock screen and like where you want to do a pin or something. I've changed most of my settings to not do that because I don't like the idea of somebody picking up my phone and being able to see all that stuff. But it at least still comes up and says you have a meeting invite, right? It doesn't necessarily say what it is, but I think it has the meeting title in it. I have to look tomorrow and see because now I'm forgetting. But I do know on older Apple devices, you used to be able to bring up Siri, even though the screen was locked. Now, most of the commands, if you're trying to get into it, would ask you to unlock the phone to do a command. But we used to have a good time with one guy who always left his phone sitting on his desk, and it was an iPhone. And without unlocking it, you could give the command to change the name that Siri would call you.
Nice.
So you would say something like, hey, Siri, call me shithead. And it would say, okay, shithead. And then the next time that person was using it, hopefully at home in front of their family, you know, they would say, hey, Siri, what's such and such? And it would say, I found this shithead. Is that good? you know, things like that. But I don't think it worked with curse words. I think we had to get more creative than that. The guy quit the company 3 years ago. I'm trying to remember now. But, you know,
I think Deering, call me a gentleman of negotiable affection.
Nice. That's a good one.
Amazon, order a 55-gallon drum of lube. Or not Amazon, what is it? Alexa.
Ooh. My phone pops up emails.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, whereas the idea that something on the lock screen is identifiable, I get the point, you know? Although, admittedly, if they're arresting you and they find the phone in your pocket, it's hard to argue that it's not your phone. But, so District Judge John Courtner of the U.S. District Court in Seattle agreed. In his ruling, the judge determined that the police looking at the phone at the time of the arrest and the FBI looking at it again after the fact are two separate issues. The police are allowed to conduct searches without a search warrant under special circumstances, Courtner wrote. Looking at the phone's lock screen may have been permissible as it took place either incident to a lawful arrest as part of the police efforts to inventory the person's effects or the person arrested. Courtner was unable to determine how specifically the police acted and ordered the clarification to see if their search of the phone fell within these boundaries. But where the police actions were unclear, the FBI's were both crystal clear and counter to the defendant's Fourth Amendment rights, Courtner ruled. Here, the FBI physically intruded on Mr. Sam's personal effect when the FBI powered on his phone to take the picture of the phone's lock screen. That qualifies as a search under the terms of the Fourth Amendment, he found, and since the FBI did not have a warrant for that search, it was unconstitutional. Well, you'd already arrested the guy at that point. Why wouldn't you have just gotten the warrant just as a CYA?
But just because you're under arrest doesn't give you give them probable cause for certain warrants.
Hmm.
Like, I could arrest you for beating your wife. Assuming you had a wife and that you beat your wife.
I was going to say, it'd be difficult. I'm not married.
But that doesn't necessarily qualify me to get a warrant to search your office.
Well, still, if you Less legitimately...
possibly you were beating your wife at the office.
If you legitimately...
I'm assuming it's a home thing.
I've stopped doing that. It's fine. But the thing is, if you already legitimately suspect somebody of doing something, how hard is it to go get a warrant? If nothing else, like I said, just a CYA. Just to cover your bases, right? I mean, you've got a lot of judges out there that rubber stamp these things, which I don't much care for. I'd rather them actually be, you know, actively observing them and trying to determine if it made sense or not. But I know they judge shop for the ones who, you know, rubber stamp things. But at the same time, you'd think they'd be doing that just to cover themselves, you know?
Yeah. And if you're already in custody, or the item you're attempting to search is already in possession of law enforcement, you have time.
Attorneys for the government argued that Sam should have no expectation of privacy on his lock screen. That is, after all, what everyone who isn't you is meant to see when they try to access the phone, instead of determining whether the lock screen is private or not, though. Courtner found that it doesn't matter. When the government gains evidence by physically intruding on a constitutionally protected area, as the FBI did here, it is unnecessary to consider whether the government also violated the defendant's reasonable expectation of privacy, he wrote. Basically, he ruled the FBI pushed the button on the phone to activate the lock screen qualified as a search, regardless of the lock screen's nature. So it's not so much a ruling saying that, hey, your phone is, you know, something that needs a warrant to be searched. It's a ruling that, hey, the FBI shouldn't be rifling through your stuff without cause and preferably without a warrant. And even just pressing that button counts as a search because you are changing the content. You're activating something, you know?
Changing what you see when you look at it.
Right. You know, that's an action. I understand where he came from saying that's a search. It's a very, very shallow search because all you do is literally activate the device. But, you know, some devices activate when you pick them up. You know, they use the accelerometer and you pick the thing up and it flips the screen on like you're going to unlock it. I haven't played with the newest iPhones, but I know a lot of them will unlock with your face. I did play with the face unlock on my phone for a little while, and I wasn't terribly pleased with it, so I haven't turned it back on after I turned that off. But yeah. So, although if I'm ever arrested and they're you know planning on forcing my thumb to the phone, that's when I'll just be dragging my fingers on the concrete. But you know, hey, whatever. Never minding the fact that, well, actually, it's kind of funny. I can't use my index fingers for my fingerprints. Between jobs I had, you know, back in the day, first early years of college, and in you know latter years of high school, and some things I've done in high school, as well as, you know, 3D printing and crafts. And I used to do a lot of case modding back in the day. My fingerprints on my index fingers don't read. Now, I'm sure I'm leaving fingerprints, but most phones, computers, and shit like that won't read my index fingers. So I use my ring finger for most things. So, I mean, it's not great to advertise that on a show, but that's what I do. So the whole press your thumb on it. Okay. Yeah. Good luck. You know, it's like, that's not my finger. You know, it's like, yeah, nope, not my phone. See, my thumb didn't unlock it. So actually though, if you are conducting less than legal activity, carry two phones. You know, have a business phone and a pleasure phone. Know which is which, and know which one is getting cracked in half and tossed out the window at speed on the highway. So you know, it's like, let me see your phone. Absolutely. And you hand them your, you know, like I say about Facebook accounts, have a resume Facebook account, that if it's not something you want your pastor, your employer, and your mother to see, it doesn't go on that account. But, you know, same thing with the phone. Have the phone you plan on turning in. It's like, yep, here you go. What's on there? Well, let's see here. We've got the resume Facebook account. We've got the phone calls to your parents, you know, wife, siblings, shit like that, people you're expected to be in contact with, and that's it. It's like, don't you play games on your phone? No, not really. It's a phone. Of course, this would be a good argument for, instead of buying a nice, expensive, you know, high-end iPhone or Samsung or Pixel, to just buy two track phones at the grocery store, right? Just make sure they're different so you know which one is which. And if you have a label maker, maybe don't put the label that says drug deal phone on the second phone.
The stats on the burner phones are actually getting pretty good.
So, Psychro says, there are things I'd be okay sharing with my pastor, employer, and mother that I don't want the government knowing about. Good man. Good man. Well, frankly, it's none of the government's damn business. Most of it. Even if it's perfectly legit, legal, and nothing anybody would object to, it's none of their damn business unless they have a warrant. Which means a judge has looked at it and decided that, okay, we have a reason to look at this. Now, that judge might be asleep at the wheel and rubber stamping something, but at least you have somebody to blame. I've got nothing else on this. You guys ready to move on?
Let's go to the next one.
Next one will probably not take very long on. This is from CNBC. Zuckerberg says employees moving out of Silicon Valley may face pay cuts. I don't even need to read the story. I can just give you the highlights here. Because of the chink chest, they've had 95% of their workforce working remote. So Facebook has realized that, hey, we can have people working remote. So if people want to be remote full-time, they can. They're also looking to hire people who are exclusively remote all the time. And they're also saying that if you become a full-time, you know, work-from-home employee and move out of Silicon Valley, you have to let us know where you move, and we may adjust your pay based on where you live.
Cost of living decrease.
Mm-hmm, which makes sense because, you know, I mean, in California, what's your average apartment? Something like $3,000 or $4,000 a month? They're ridiculous.
Oh, it's something crazy.
So I get... I understand where they're coming from, that they've been paying people really high rates, partially because cost of living out there is just insane, and that they'd like to, you know, do a cost of living adjustment. I think in the article they said that it was for both tax and, when you limit hiring to people who, aggressively ramp up hiring of remote workers... may have compensation adjusted based on the new locations. We'll adjust your salary to your location at that point, Zuckerberg said, citing that this is necessary for taxes and accounting and that there will be severe ramifications for people who are not honest about this. Zuckerberg.
Like what? Like what, you're going to take me out the back, put me against the wall, suck?
No, it means they're just going to fire you.
Cock.
Not just like, that.
Don't use such inflammatory fucking language, you soft cocked wanker.
They could also send you to jail for how many ever years tax evasion is. My state charges an income tax. If your income tax is being paid to California and you're working in my state instead, your income tax would be paid here.
I'm sure there's places in California that are just as cheap to live as where you're living, madman.
Places just as cheap. Their income tax is higher, though.
Yeah.
Also,
anyway.
Well, anyway, so the other part of the article was him talking about how it was basically Facebook talking about how because they're willing to open up full-time remote, that means that they can start looking to hire people who are working in areas of the country that are not in areas they've been targeting before, because it used to be just a handful of big cities where they had offices. Now they're like, well, shit, we can target anybody.
Now they don't need to bring in 100,000 Indian workers.
The Indian workers can work from India.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, Cycros, it does mean that people in the middle of BFE, wherever, can start working for Silicon Valley firms if they're all going remote.
Well, I mean, you know, I get it. And at the same time, though, I guess part of the reason this one got my attention is my own job has been remote for the past couple of months. I'm pretty much at my own discretion when I want to come back to, quote unquote, working in the office. But, you know, it was you know, we've had discussions with security leadership that our team could be full-time remote. We don't actually need to go back into the office very often except to do, you know, equipment updates and things like that. And if my job became full-time remote, I'd move back. Maybe not back to my hometown, but, you know, back up to where I used to live when I first started decking.
I could see that because you're still within range of anything fun. There's not that much fun to do in your hometown.
Well, not only that, but I still would occasionally need to go back to a central office. So if I need to, like, switch out equipment or, you know, touch base with people, have meetings, things like that. But at the same time, if I move back to where I was when we started decking, cost of living is half of what it is where I am right now. And, you know, if it didn't affect my salary that much, I mean, fuck. I'd do that in a heartbeat. So, yeah, 50 acres of land wear out in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is exactly what I would do, Cycros, is I would just go out and get myself a chunk of land out in the middle of bumfuck nowhere so I could go out, shoot guns, camp on the land, do cookouts, you know, big old bonfires.
You have to see if you can get an internet connection, though.
Well, that's
you're
the
still
thing.
Tethered to how close to, how far out will the internet go.
So that's the thing. It's like, okay, so the house is on the edge of the land near the city, and then you just happen to have a chunk of land behind it where you can go out and do whatever you want, right?
My cousin's lucked out. Found 35 acres, and where he's planning to put the house, and get
fiber
cable.
Yep. So, this next one, RU sent me this story, and I thought it would just be fun to. I'm not going to read this straight. When I read this, I'm going to be translating because we thought this would be fun to do. I've got another story right after that. I want to do the same thing with, but. I thought this was a fun concept to read. You read these data breach stories and translate them into what's probably actually happened. So as I'm translating these, this is my guess based on working in the industry and things like that. So it's not 100% true, but at the same time, it's what I expect is true. So this one's from the BBC. EasyJet admits data of 9 million hacked. EasyJet has admitted that a highly sophisticated cyber attack, read phishing, has affected approximately 9 million customers. It said email addresses and travel details had been stolen, and that 2,208 customers also had their credit card and debit card details accessed. And the part they left out, that they know of. Because proving that shit is hard. The firm has informed the UK's Information Commission Office while it investigates the breach. EasyJet first became aware of the attack in January. Notice they don't mention dwell time. So they don't know how long they were in the network. They found them in January. It told the BBC that it was only able to notify a customer whose credit card details were stolen in early April. From January to April, they knew that they had been breached, and they didn't tell anybody. That's probably because at some point their lawyer said, guys, you have to announce this or you're going to get sued. Also, they probably didn't know how to handle it between that January and April. Because most companies don't. Most companies don't have a fucking clue what to do when they're breached. Because they don't want to call... You know, they don't want to call FBI and things like that because then they have to admit that they were breached. They'd have to, you know, deal with law enforcement and it'll be in the news. They don't want to be in the news because they know that that's brand damage. So they don't know what to do. And, you know, so you have lots of meetings with people going round and round and round and usually deciding to do nothing. This was a highly sophisticated attacker. It took time to understand the scope of the attack and identify who had been impacted, the airline told the BBC. Reed, they don't have a proper logging system. Because if you had proper network logs and system logs, guess what? Once you knew the accounts involved, you could know all of that pretty quickly, actually, if you had a proper SIM. So, Reed, you don't have a logging system. Got it. And again, I understand why you don't. Things are expensive and pain in the ass. But, you know, this is why you want one. We could only inform people once the investigation had progressed enough that we were able to identify whether any individuals had been affected, then who had been impacted, and what information had been accessed. Again, means you don't have a log system. You were digging through individual systems and hoping shit hadn't rolled off. Stolen credit card data included the 3-digit security code known as the CVV number on the back of the card itself. Pretty sure that's a PCI violation. You're not supposed to be storing that. EasyJet added that it had gone public now in order to warn the 9 million customers whose email addresses had been stolen to be wary of phishing attacks. Yeah, you know, the stuff was stolen in January. They're letting them know to worry about phishing attacks now. Way to go.
And when they say notify public, I actually asked a couple of friends in the UK whether they'd heard about the EasyJet being popped. And they're like, no, I fly EasyJet. What happened to my account numbers?
It's like, here's an article. You might want to read it. Oh,
yeah, you might
fuck.
Want to read this and go change some passwords. And they live in Britain and they ain't heard shit about this.
Yeah, so go public means they told the BBC to put it on a website that, you know, so it ends up on the website buried where, you know, people like me and RU are going to see it, and that's about it. It said it would notify everyone affected by the 26th of May. It did not provide details about the nature of the attack or the motives, but said its information or investigation suggested hackers were targeting company intellectual property rather than information that could be used in identity theft. There is no evidence that any personal information of any nature has been misused. However, on the recommendation of the ICO, we are communicating with the approximately 9 million customers whose travel details were accessed to advise them of protective steps to minimize the risk of potential phishing. We are advising customers to be cautious of any communications purporting to come from EasyJet or EasyJet Holidays. In response to the breach, the ICO said it was investigating, i.e., we're only telling you because the government told us we had to. This whole idea that, oh, it's going to be phishing attacks shows they really don't understand how this shit works. Yes, they will be phishing attacks, but they're not going to be phishing attacks at pretending to be JetBlue. They're going to be phishing attacks from random banks. They're going to be phishing attacks saying, hey, you have Amazon packages. I don't know how my phone number got leaked, but I get 3 or 4 spam text messages a day for Harold. I don't know why, because my name is not Harold. You know, trying to get me to click on random links, usually claiming I got a $1,000 Amazon gift card coming. And you look at the link, and it's like somebody rolled a potato over the keyboard, .net, and then switch, and again, more potato. And it's like, no, I know what that is. I'm not clicking that link on my phone, you fucking dipshit. And
if they look at what they have, it doesn't even need to be random. Here's a phishing email from your bank.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Is it's like, they're not going to pretend to be EasyJet or JetBlue or whatever it is. They're going to just feed it into their existing spam scams and just flood your inbox with bullshit. If they have your cell phone number and they know it's a good cell phone number, they're going to sell that to marketers and you're going to get all these stupid, you know, this is Habib and I'm calling you from Microsoft. You have a virus on your computer. You know, and healthcare scams and whatever the ones they're throwing at Britain right now is, because frankly, I don't know the scams they're throwing in Britain because I'm not there. But yeah, these stupid Amazon links piss me off because I'll pull them up in a VM to see what they are. 9 times out of 10, they try to pull down an APK. It's like I'll pull it in and look at it. And of course, you know, you can't really do much with it. I can decompile it, but that doesn't really tell me much. You know, you just report it off and go. But, you know, occasionally I did get one that was an info stealer. I may have written a Python script using the requests library to flood their form with as much useless bullshit as I could think up. Their website
Nothing
went
wrong
down.
With that.
Their website went down an hour later. I don't know if I was the reason it went down or if they just, you know, closed it out. But I really hope they were reading through the database and saw the, you know, the pattern of all the first names being like, you fucking idiots. You know, why are you doing this? You're wasting everybody's time. Go kill yourselves. I hope you die in a fire. I mean, I had basically I went and found a whole bunch of 4chan copy pastes and my script was just pulling random words out of the copy pastes to fill out the forms.
Nice.
And anyways, back to the article here, though. We are advising customers to be cautious. People have a right to expect the organization will handle their personal information securely and responsibly. When that doesn't happen, we will investigate and take robust action where necessary. That's the ICO. It also warned people to be on the lookout for phishing attacks and directed them to its advice on its website of how to spot such scams. Again, because they dumped out emails, they assumed it's going to be phishing attacks. Phishing attempts, which see criminals sending information with links to fake websites to steal personal data. That's not...
Well, they're not fake websites. They're actually there. They're
this is a web server made out of cardboard, and it says R720 on the front.
Come on, can you proofread your shit before you post it? Come on.
Kind of like the airplane cults, except we're trying to get the old spirits of the internet. Yeah,
dude.
Back before Bezos.
Do you know how many people have had to explain what a cargo cult is? Because I've used that simile at work. It's like you guys are building a cargo cult because Google's doing it, you're doing it, or because Netflix is doing it, you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix's application is about 100 times simpler than ours and has about 1 billion times more customers. I don't think we should be using them as a model. I think we can look at them as for ideas, but they're not a model. Yeah, I piss a lot of sysadmins and programmers off. I'm pretty sure that's what my day job is supposed to be, though. Anyways. Google is blocking more than 100 million phishing emails every day to Gmail users. Well, bullshit. I mean, yeah, they probably are. It's meaningless. It's like reporting how many packets you've blocked on your firewall. It's like, so what? You blocked it. Who cares? It's like, but we've got 1 million blocked packets. Okay, you use that to go sell that you need a firewall upgrade to management. I don't give a fuck. It is likely that hackers will take advantage of the fact that people are canceling flights because of the uncertainty related to, pick one, the Flu Manchu. And said Ray Walsh, a digital privacy expert at ProPrivacy. Anyone who's ever purchased an EasyJet flight is advised to be extremely wary when opening emails from now on. He said, just from now on, forever. Your email address has been compromised. From now on, be careful. Always be looking over your shoulder. Keep a gun under the desk. And if anybody calls you up claiming to be from EasyJet, just, you know, aim your gun at the phone and shoot them. Oh, wait, it's Britain. They don't have guns. Knives. So you take your knife and you stab it through the receiver. Wait, I don't know.
Spoon.
Your
government-appointed round-edged object for eating.
Oh, God. So, anyways, the article goes on, but there's not really much else to talk about here. But, yeah, it's just I love how they try to couch this up like, oh, well, we knew about it in January. Yeah, but when did they actually get in?
Yeah.
They got it in January. We keep close tabs on our network.
Sure you do.
I mean, I can prove they got it in January.
Hey,
can you prove they got in before that?
I'm not a hacker. I'm just a refugee from another server cluster.
It's like the Tron movies. The programs are moving to a server because not Tron. What was the Disney one with the arcade games? All the characters ran to the other machines because they were under
Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, that was
it. That's it, man. These aren't hackers. They're just refugees from other old systems.
Oh, don't be careful with that. You're going to have SJWs defending their rights.
What was that reboot?
Reboot.
Did they also do that in Reboot?
I think so, yeah. Warning incoming game. Oh, that's a sound effect I need on the board. I need to get some reboot sound effects for the board. Okay. I got to write that down. That's a good idea. You just, you know, the reboot warning incoming game is awesome. So, anyways. Next article.
Mister upgrades this whenever he can. His resources are strapped.
All right. Next article is from CNET. Home Chef confirms data breach after customer info reportedly sold on the dark web. I.e., they used the FBI notice system. They waited for somebody else to say, hey, we have your data. And they go, oh, gee, we must have had a breach. As opposed to monitoring your systems.
Well, why monitor when the FBI offers free system monitoring for you?
Meal kit delivery service Home Chef on Wednesday confirmed that a data security incident. There's a phrase. A data security incident. That's like George Carlin's rain event, if anybody remembers that one. exposed some customer information, including names, email addresses, phone numbers, and the last four digits of credit card numbers. Okay, that one's kind of sucks. The company said encrypted passwords, as well as account details like frequency of delivery and mailing addresses, may also have been compromised. We are taking quick, aggressive action to investigate this situation and prevent similar events from happening in the future, said Home Chef spokeswoman Maris Callahan, adding that the incident had been reported to law enforcement. In an FAQ about the security incident, Home Chef said it's emailing affected customers and encouraging people to change passwords in an abundance of caution. No, that's not an abundance of caution. That's a reaction to an incident. An abundance of caution is the stupid safety talk you get from the stewardess on the airline flight showing you how to work a fucking seatbelt. That's an abundance of caution. Just in case somebody doesn't know how to work a seatbelt and understand the concept that the mask dropping down in front of you is bad and you should put it on your face so you can breathe. Because airlines work in areas where pressure is a thing. Sorry. Home Chef didn't say how many customers were impacted by the security incident last week. Security site Bleeping Computer reported hackers claimed to be selling a database of 8 million user records from the meal company. In other words, they didn't know they were breached. Somebody said, hey, by the way, somebody's selling your data over on Tor. And the only reason they know it is their data is the hackers say it's from that database. They say it's from Meal Kit. Anything
stories
on that?
Get worse every week.
I mean, that's what it is. It's like, we don't monitor our systems. We don't know what security is. We just wait for somebody to notify us that there's a problem. And that now shit like that, yeah, somebody needs to go to jail for gross incompetence. It's one thing if you're running a system and you happen to miss something. Like, you know, Target is a good example of this, actually, where when their garbage company they used got hacked and they were able to use that to get into Target or the maintenance company, whatever it was, the alerts existed. They were in Target's SIM. The problem was they had so many alerts they just missed them, right? That means they were running a security program and failing versus, well, we found out about our breach because they were selling it on the darknet. That means you're not running a security program at all. Or if you are, it's really, really not working.
I mean, wow.
Last story. Or you sent me this one. I'm going to take the unpopular opinion on this one. Well, maybe it's not an unpopular opinion. I'm going to take socially untenable position on this one. Grandmother ordered to delete Facebook photos under the GDPR. So, obviously, I didn't hit the day drinking flask enough because I've been getting into it during the show, and it's like, I keep getting more whiskey. This is awesome. It means I'm also getting stupider as the show goes on, right? So, a woman must delete photographs of her grandchildren that she posted on Facebook and Pinterest without their parents' permission. A court in the Netherlands had ruled. It ended up in court after a falling out between a woman and her daughter. The judge ruled that the matter was within the scope of the EU's General Data Protection Regulation. One expert said the ruling reflected the position that the European Court had taken over many years. The case went to court after the woman refused to delete photographs of her grandchildren, which she had posted on social media. The mother of the children had asked several times for the pictures to be deleted. The GDPR does not apply to the purely personal or household processing of data. However, that exemption does not apply because posting photographs on social media made them available to a wider audience, the ruling said. With Facebook, it cannot be ruled out that placed photographs may be distributed and may end up in the hands of third parties, it said. Well, I don't know. Putting it on Facebook just kind of means it is in the hands of a third party at that point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The woman...
Yes, everything you put on Facebook belongs to Facebook. You're giving it to a third party.
The woman must remove the photos or pay a fine of 50 euros, or 45 pounds, for every day that she fails to comply with the order, up to a maximum fine of 1,000 euros. If she posts more images of the children in the future, she will be fined an extra 50 euros a day. I think the ruling will surprise a lot of people who probably don't think too much before they tweet or post photos, said Neil Brown, a technology lawyer at Decoded Legal. And irrespective of the legal position, would it be reasonable for people who've posted those photos to think, well, he or she doesn't want them out there anymore? Actually, the reasonable thing, the human thing to do is go ahead and take them down. So, yeah, even in the article, they're like, yeah, you know, if somebody's posted photos of you online and you don't want them on there, you probably ought to just go ahead and take them down, you know?
I mean, the neighborly thing to do.
Especially in this day and age where privacy is basically dead. Like, I know for a fact that Fox may have some graven images of what RU actually looks like. Because RU did an admirable job of dodging cameras at the last meetup. But Fox had a video camera pointed at the room the entire time. So I know at one point he had images of what RU actually looks like. And if he posted them online, I would fully respect RU's right to go kick his ass.
Yeah. But I know he's going to do the right thing.
So,
you know, everybody at the meetups, I know and I trust, would do the right thing.
The only photo we posted from the meetup was the one where everyone was blocking their face.
Yeah.
Good luck to anybody in the chat room who can find that. I don't even remember where we posted it now. It made the rounds, but...
Yeah, I don't know where it is. I don't really care because you can't see anything. There's no identifying marks or anything like that.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, figure out. Actually, if you get that photo and figure out who's who, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, well played. But I don't do photos because I don't do phones, and yeah, I just.
But I mean, you know,
like those meetup photographs. They're the first photographs that have ever been taken from me, apart from authorities.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was 13 years old. I really, like, for some reason, after 30, it must be a repressed sexual memory or something like that. I just...
You're afraid they'll steal your soul. I get it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I just fucking hate cameras, man. I hate phones. Now cameras have phones, so I get to hate all in one.
But my point is, I agree that you have the right. It's like, that's an image of me and I don't want it online. Take it down.
Yeah.
You have that right. Especially if you have a grandparent who's posting embarrassing photos. I don't know that it's embarrassing photos because the article doesn't say. You know, maybe the parents were just extremely private. You know, maybe they had a very good reason to ask the grandmother to take the photos down. Maybe it's hiding from a crazy or something. I don't know.
Well, maybe the parents actually believe in having the kid making its own choices.
Sure.
As it grows up. You know, like...
Like, we don't know the details here, but maybe the mother has a crazy ex-boyfriend or something, right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I just... Yeah, I'm glad I don't have kids, but I would definitely have a no photograph online thing for at least till they're 16.
Well, it's like, I've got some crazy family, right? And... You know, if the crazy aunt was posting photos of, you know, any of my immediate family, it would be with rants about what horrible people we are. And
great,
you know,
who needs enemies when you got family like that?
Well, she thinks we've stolen from her when it's actually the other way around, but that's not.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about it. It's not.
We're not going to get into it.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, you should be able to dictate your own privacy, at least to your friends.
Especially
and that.
Under GDPR. So, yeah, I mean, if you've. You know, the fact that the mother and the grandmother couldn't work it out is sad, but I think the courts were right here. Take the fucking photos down.
Well, it was years ago. I mean, quite a few years ago now. My wife was having drinks with one of her work friends. They took a photo, and I said, can you delete that? She goes, no, I'm just going to put it on Facebook. We're having a nice night out. I went, no. You're both educators. You have a public image to uphold. Don't be posting images of you drinking excessively while partying.
And they didn't get it, did they?
Well, because I'm like, you've got to have parents look you up because you're their kid's teacher. They're going to see you getting shit-faced on a Friday? Nah. Well, you're undermining your own authority by doing that.
That's come up several times where teachers have actually gotten fired because on the weekend somebody, you know, some kid saw a photo of their teacher out having a margarita or something, right? It like wasn't even like drinking to excess or something. They were just holding a drink.
Yep. I mean, you got to be super duper careful.
Baby's first IR LED hoodie. I like it. Oh, I like it. That's a problem worth solving. I'm going to open up an e-shop. That's a thing right there.
Is someone selling those?
What if it was Granny's photo? Like, you gave Granny these photos of Kate's. Aren't the photos Granny's property at that point?
In a way, they are. But
I can see your argument.
It's one of these things where it's like, if you're dealing with a privacy concern and you don't want pictures of you on the out on the internet, on a platform, whatever. I mean, at some point, there's a difference between family posting shit on social media and, like, news reporting, right? But, and I guess that's going to be one of those things where you basically end up having to take it to court every time you can't resolve it. But, I mean, this one just seems silly. It's like the mom and the grandmother couldn't work it out, and the grandmother's like, no, I'm leaving these photos up. I mean, that family's destroyed, right? They're not talking to the grandmother again. And they don't say how old the kids are. The kids might be, like, super young. They're not going to understand why their grandmother's not in their life anymore, you know?
It sounds like a dysfunctional fuck-up. But anyway, I'm with the people. Take the photos down.
I think it's crap that the family's falling apart. And as an individual, if I had a picture of any of you guys and you're like, don't post that, it's not getting posted. But
thank God, because I know you've got blackmail shit on me.
If it's my photos, shouldn't I be able to do with my photos what I want to do with my photos?
Well, that's why I'm always super careful as to make sure I'm not in a photo. Or if someone tries to take a photo, I ask them not to.
It gets interesting, right? Because you're right in that the ownership of the photo is usually the person who took the photo. Where things get really weird is, like, what if you're tagged in a photo on Facebook at a certain time? Like, this is where you get shit like the website pleaserobme.com, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like...
Yeah, I'm out of town. I'm in the Bahamas right now. Come rob my house.
Yeah. So, and what if it's not your photo? You just happen to be in the background... Or you're with a group and you're out and you don't realize that somebody's tagged you as being with the group, right?
Yeah.
Actually, that happened to my sister. She was out with friends and one of her friends was a Facebook fiend and was taking pictures of everybody and tagging everybody. And my parents actually called her and said, so you're not home right now? And she's like, how did you know that? And like, well, they're tagging you on Facebook. And they're like, and she's like, oh, and it's public. So people know you're not home right now. And this is when she learned to set up some privacy controls on her Facebook account, because at the time, it would take a little bit of digging, but you could put together basically where she lived.
Wow.
You know, there were enough photos and shit floating around that you could basically put her address together. So we had to go clean up her Facebook account because at the time, single woman living alone, you know, I mean, shit. I don't blame my dad for being concerned. He noticed it before me because I'm not on Facebook. I would have been concerned too. Of course, if I find out somebody hurt my sister, I own guns. But that's not the point. It's like what's
you
gonna...
can own all the guns you want. You don't have to do shit.
Well,
ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure.
Exactly. Marks. Not to mention that I'm not too, making that. Always... Then I'm not making the awkward call to Madman. So those pig farms you know about, right? We have some problems to solve.
Oh, you're not black, dude, are you?
There's nothing.
God.
There's nothing like having a fly in, fly out friend. You know what I mean?
Yep. 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 So,
anyway,
let's wrap this up. This is getting dark. Got one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo. This is a open source program for Windows that's actually published on GitLab called Shut Sentry. So let me throw these the links out here for this guy. What this guy is this little program you put on your machine, probably a laptop, right? At least the laptop is where this is going to be most used. And you set up a challenge password with this program. And then you dictate when you want to be challenged. So you can do things like ask for the password every however many minutes. Like they have a screenshot in here showing every 60 minutes. I don't know that I would set that because that would be obnoxious. But
yeah,
here's the really useful ones. Challenge on USB device, attach or deattach. Shut down on USB device, attach or reattach. Challenge on Bluetooth device departure. So what you can do is you can do something like set up a flash drive. And there doesn't even have to be anything on it. It's just, it's an identifier. It's a key, right?
Yeah.
And when you yank this flash drive, this program will shut your computer down. And if you've got your hard disk encrypted and you've got this thing asking for a password, right, and you think your laptop's about to get jacked, what do? Yank the key. Now the machine's locked and at least you don't lose any data. You might lose the hardware, but at least you don't lose any data.
Not bad.
So pretty cool.
Did you also have it ask for a password whenever a browser opens?
No, I didn't see that one in there. Basically, it's got a handful of different trigger conditions. But it's basically every on, either on a time interval, whenever somebody attaches or deattaches certain USB devices, or when a Bluetooth device disappears. So the other thing you could do is have it have like your phone tethered to it, right? A pair of headphones, something like that. So that if somebody grabs your laptop in the coffee shop and runs, when your phone or your headphones or whatever it is gets far enough away from it, those detach and then the machine locks so that, again, you might lose the hardware, but at least you don't lose any data.
You could always set your USB stick up like a jet ski key. So it's attached to your wrist. So when a dude steals your laptop, it detaches and everything just shuts down.
Mm-hmm. So...
But then again, why was you using a laptop in an area where crimes like that are going to happen? You're a fucking idiot to start with.
That's when you want the laptop that has the fingerprint reader and the little spikes in it so that if it fails the read, it just stabs your hand. Of course, like I said, for my index fingers, that would suck. Because I don't know what I've done to them, but pretty much nothing will read them anymore. I guess they're just too worn down and cracked and shit like that. Chapped or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's been years since I've had jobs where I was handling shit that was fucking up my hands, but I guess they just never healed right or anything. I don't know.
Utter bomb. Try that for a month.
Yeah.
And fix your hand.
It might. But I kind of like the idea that my index fingers don't read. Lets me, use a different finger with most of my devices and then fucks with people when it's like, give me your fingerprint. Okay. Hit the button. Do it again. Okay. Still not working. I know. Kind of get the Men in Black thing where your fingerprints don't work. And eventually they'll give up and say, okay, use the other finger. And I'm like, yeah, okay. It's like my index fingers don't work. My thumbs only work half the time. So I don't know. Anyways, that's all I got for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit. You can send me links on Reddit. I do look at them. I may not reply. I may not acknowledge them on the show. Usually it's because either I looked at it at the wrong time and forgot, or I had enough stories that I didn't have to dig into Reddit for stories, but occasionally I have to. But yeah, that's probably if you want to send me a note, the subreddit's probably the best way to do that, because I will see it. But I lost my place. Fuck the show notes. Madman, closing thoughts.
Are you? If you want to get any reboot references, or just watch a really, 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 really old computer animated show, that's what that YouTube link is. Also stuck in the IRC.
I saw that. I've got it up for later.
Is it Is it the entire show or just like an episode?
Yes, it's the entire series of Reboot.
Nice.
Starting with episode one.
Nice. Oh, I may have a marathon
I was going to say I might save that for a watch together this weekend.
Oh, that'd be good. It's just bad enough. It'd be awesome, especially once we get drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I watched the opening credits and the opening scene of one episode, and I'm like, I don't remember it being this horribly animated.
It does kind of have that 90s Amiga animation to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Like, the last time I saw something this bad, a Star Fury was exploding.
Nice.
Don't hate me. I do like the show. The graphics did not age well.
Did not age well, no.
What I always got a kick out of was one in the later series where they tried to harden the characters up and, like, you know, oh, now he's got an eye patch and a beard or whatever it was, and it looked so ridiculous. But are you? Closing thoughts.
Don't have anything, really. No real thoughts. Not at all. Madman, closing thoughts.
I'm still arguing back and forth on whether or not me owning the picture gives you the right to have me take it down. Because I can see it from both points of view. It's like, you don't own the kid, and you don't want kids' pictures up on the internet. There's weirdos out there that could be stalking your kid. But then, if it's my fucking photograph, I'll do what I want with it. I'm a nice guy, so I'm going to take what you want in account because it's my photograph. I don't want to be a dick to my friends.
Yeah, there's the whole, you know, being civil thing. But, I mean, yeah, I guess that at some point, ultimately, it is your video or photograph or whatever. But this is how you get shit like, YouTube banning videos of young kids because, creeps were commenting, making weird comments and shit like that. It's like, oh, go to this spot in the video. You can see something.
So, oh, yeah, cheerleading competitions are horrible about that. Like, I wasn't trying to be a pervert. My kid just made it to state. Check it out. They're talented.
What did I forget? What did I forget? IRC readout. So I got to do that. So tonight in the IRC, we had myself, Sardonyx, Cyber Dystopia, which I believe is the bot, Psychros, DP View, Madman, and the Coffin. Coffee? It's coffee with one E, the coffee maker. But that's all I've got for you tonight. I've got nothing else, so I'm going to start hitting sound effects.
Oh, God, the Internet of Things is invading.
Welcome to the rice fields.
I have testicular cancer.
Where's the damn...
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and...
Call
tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.
Not going
to tell the fridge and the thermostat about us. We're never going to be safe.
Hit every damn button except the one I meant to.
I was going to say, man, you're looking for that, then.